Praise and thanks be to our Lord. I want to read a word of God, maybe from Lamentations 3. We want to read some verses, what this man is saying here. He says here, Lamentations 3 from verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he has borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Wherefore does a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." Up to here, this holy and wonderful word of God. I don't know, but this man, he had probably also fallen into much sorrow and tribulation, and perhaps even the whole nation with him. But when he really came to his senses, then he pronounces these words that we have just read. And this verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." After all the suffering, after all the difficulties he had, he says these words, and then, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." What was it? He no longer looked at all at what he had encountered, but he looked at what was still there, and those were the mercies of God that were not yet exhausted. And he knew that only when he looked up to the living God would he be given comfort, and then he would be given hope, and then he would be given everything he needed. And so, dear brothers and sisters, he says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." And I thought, how is it with thee? How is it with me? When we may have gone some way now, and may have gone through many a travail, and may have had to walk many a sandy way that was very hot, and may have had our feet very scalding, and we may have become very dusty, but after all this, a reflection is necessary, as it was with this man of God. And then he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Who is our hope? Who is your hope? Who? This man here, he has put it so close to our hearts, and he gives us this example, and this way he shows us, like he walked with God. But I think not only that, I think he has also given comfort to others, as we read here. You know, that's it. Whoever puts his hope in the living God has hope not only for himself, but also for others. And that is something wonderful. You know, sometimes it looks so hopeless, so bleak, but that is only perhaps with you and with me, but not with God, who is the hope, with whom all things are possible. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we have come together again today to look up to our God, to look up to the living God, from whom our strength comes, from whom our power comes, who wants to bless us anew, to talk to him, to stay here with him, so that he can come to his right in your life and in mine. May the faithful God continue to be with us. May he bless us. And I think we should let go of everything that may be in our hearts or minds, all our thoughts, and lift ourselves up to him, and know that we have now come to worship him, our God, our Lord. But not only that, but also to hear what he will have to say to us through his precious and holy word. I'm so grateful to God that we can also say, the Lord is good. Yes, indeed, he is kind. He is full of goodness. He is full of grace. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And I think we are a people who wait for him. If it were not so, I think we would not come together at all. But we wait on the Lord. We wait, and we know we wait not in vain. Praise and thanks be to his glorious name. Now, may he continue to guide us, even our prayers. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. These were the words of this man of God. Now, he did not mean himself, but also us. Us too, you and I, all of us, are meant. Let us, as we have read, do so, and lift up our hearts and our hands to our God and bring glory to him. Let us rise up to this. To you, O God, we lift up our hearts and also our hands, O Lord, for you are our God, you are our Creator. Yes, you are the Creator of heaven and earth. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you are also our hope, that you are our comfort, that you have become all in all for us, O Lord. Lord, we await your mighty blessing tonight. We wait, Lord, for your heavens to open and that the showers of blessing descend upon us. We need it, Lord. We need the showers of blessing, as also the earth needs the rain. Heavenly Father, we need it. Bless us all tonight. Touch our hearts, Lord, but also give grace that we may touch you by faith, that we put everything aside and have our eyes fixed on the goal, Lord. What is above, hallelujah. Praise be to you. Worship to your wonderful name. Continue to bless us, Lord. Bless your people as it was prayed, everywhere in all places. Bless all the sick, Lord. And straighten up those, Lord, who are bowed down. We ask all this, Lord. Give also to my brothers the right words. Speak thou thyself by thy good Holy Spirit. Be thou the word in their mouth, O God. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the hour of prayer. Let us make few of the words and seek the face of our God and trust in Him. When one sits and listens like this, a deep longing arises to grasp all this, to be connected with God in such a way that the words are not just written or read here, but that they find fulfillment in our lives, that God can glorify Himself today. When Brother Gaidat said, I will read what the Lord Jesus said yesterday, then the thought came to me, what he said yesterday, we know. We can read it. And he would say the same thing today, and tomorrow, and forever. There is no man who would not have to have corrected himself in life, who would not have learned things, whose knowledge would not have become more. But what our Lord said yesterday, He says today, He says for all eternity. But it should go to our hearts that God makes so much effort with us. And if He could only show us the way to get there, that all those words He said yesterday might be fulfilled in us today. All the promises of yesterday are to become reality today. I mean presently, now, in your life and in mine. When we say the word yesterday, we mean 6,000 years almost behind us. But God wants to fulfill today what He said yesterday. Already the word of introduction struck me. And also what we have now read here. But the question is, when will God come to the point with us and to His right, that we do not only read what He did yesterday. Here is the phrase, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This and that had to happen. What has to happen today so that the scripture given for today be fulfilled? That is the big question before us. And we believe that God gives the answer too. But His answer is not in words. The promise is in words. But the answer is not in words. The answer is in action. In the realization of the promise is the answer of God. God had promised Isaac to Abraham for a long, long time, but the answer was not a new speech, but a realization, a revelation of what he had promised. And that is what we long for. Here the Lord says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled. And we have read along. The scripture must be fulfilled, even through the depths. We would have thought that our Lord should be exalted above all things when he was on earth, that nothing should happen to him. And Peter said, this shall not happen to you. And just when Peter said, this shall not happen to you, the Lord said, Satan, get thee behind me. Just at the moment when the Lord was talking about his suffering, about his way through Gethsemane to Golgotha, via betrayal, about everything that was involved, then Peter came with this human proposal, behind which, as you know, was the enemy. And we all tend to do that, and sometimes don't notice the difference, and don't ask ourselves the question of who it is that is speaking through us. When God speaks through us, then the good and the bad, if it is in God's program, will find its fulfillment. The blessing as well as the persecution, the being understood as well as the being misunderstood, the being accepted as well as the being rejected, everything will be part of it. So it was with our Lord. So it will be and so it is with us. Then this word here, when the Lord said, if I dip the morsel, and he to whom I hand it, it is he. And then it says, Satan entered into him. 3.5 years of discipleship, 3.5 years following him, 3.5 years of witnessing all that God has done, and in what ways the Lord revealed himself. Now I ask you, what could he do for this to happen? The scripture had to be fulfilled. Who could change it? God had said it that way in his plan. And there is no man who could dare to pronounce judgment, for we have read that the scripture might be fulfilled. And there is no man who could condemn or judge the fulfillment of scripture. We just have to submit to it and say, Lord, your will be done in my life, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. We may think that the scriptures are only fulfilled in good ways. Scripture must be fulfilled in every way, everything. And sure, we may not mention this, but when it is written, in the last days, people will be haughty, boastful and all that, children disobedient to parents and so forth. Who can stop that? Who can do anything about it? We can all lift up holy hands all night long and pray as often as we like until we can pray no more. That the scripture may be fulfilled, it must be so. There is no other way. We must always pray in the will of God. And I think it has sounded forth from what Brother Rus has already said. We must also not be deterred or impressed by the things that are happening around us. Because God's word is fulfilled in diversity, so and so and so, and in the one this way and in the one differently. But God's word comes to fulfillment, in one this word, in another that. But God's word comes to fulfillment in every way. The question is, and the sermon will be published. Dear Brother Branham speaks about the three kinds of believers, about the believers, the make-believers, and the unbelievers. And God's word is fulfilled in all, everybody gets their part, and they can't even help it, that they have to play the part that they have to play. One thing I noticed quickly here, in John 13, here it says, a new commandment I give to you. And here the thought came to me, this commandment was no longer engraved with a pen on a tablet of stone, but it was spoken from the mouth of the Lord to people in whose hearts something new was to arise, a commandment that the Spirit of God could make real and put into practice in the lives of all believers. So not a commandment you must, but a commandment that finds its fulfillment in the lives of believers through the love of God Himself, through the urge of God's love. And it says, by this the world will know that you are my disciples. But let us return to the Lamentations, for we feel more like it than anything else. And one can read from the Lamentations. I said before, you know my way. I don't need to emphasize them first. I always read a little before and a little after to find the overall context. And right from verse 1 in Lamentations 3, this great man of God says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. If we go to chapter 1, Jeremiah 1, and read how God said, I have appointed thee to be a prophet unto the nations, and say not that you are too young, and so forth. God encouraged him, I appoint thee this day to pluck up and pull down, and then to plant and build up. And just such a man, with an extraordinary commission, he says, I am the man, I am the man who has experienced misery and felt the rod of his wrath. Me he has led and driven, both, once led, once driven, into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. So the prophet of God, the man of God, felt as if God was against him, and he was his enemy, striking wherever necessary, by day and by night, so that he says, my flesh and my skin has he made old. He has broken my bones. He has builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He has hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He has enclosed my ways with hewn stone. Only those who have been in Israel know what hewn stones are. You have certainly never seen them here. But these are enormous things. So very definitely, one by one square, at least, if not bigger. Yes, I think much bigger. So he didn't just make small stones here, but the hewn stones he walled up the way for me. He has made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear laying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. Do you realize through what this prophet has passed? Through such a depth, through such hardship. You all know who were young, and we all were once. Especially when I speak to the brethren now, when you have the arrow and the target and have shot. Here the prophet says, he has set me up as a target and has shot at me. The prophet, the man of God, was his target, in his eyes only, of course. In fact, it is quite different. In fact, the enemy is our adversary, not our God. God is on our side. God is our friend. And when we spoke earlier about hope, we can confidently say, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And whoever has this hope in him has it and will be there and see the face of God. But it sometimes has the impression, and of this one speaks, and I'm glad that these great men of God were so honest and poured out their hearts, driven by the Spirit, so that we too, when we pour out our hearts in despair, do not stand alone, but know that men of God have gone the same ways, perhaps somewhat different in kind, the same in substance, in any case, through deep trials. And one sometimes actually thinks, Lord, have you actually turned against me? And then you have to understand, as with Job, it was not the Lord. The Lord only allowed it. He allowed it, but it was the enemy who struck, who devastated, who caused disaster, who brought death. The Lord later restored. That was the Lord. That is the business of our God. Now it goes on to say, you almost don't like to read it all. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunken with wormwood. What shall one say to it? But then comes the wonderful word that we heard already. In verse 19 it says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Do you see that he has not remained in despair, but has seen the mercies of God anew before his eyes, and has said, they are not exhausted. God is still there to reveal himself again, to show himself mighty. And so, out of the word that first leads to despondency, the way out of this despondency has been shown by looking up to God, that the Lord has placed a hope in us, that we can live this hope. That's how it is written here. The mercies of the Lord are not yet exhausted. And I believe that too. I can pray along with the prayer of this man of God, line by line, perhaps better than any other. And I heartily agree with him here. The mercies of the Lord are not yet exhausted. His compassions are not yet ended. With us, things sometimes come to an end, don't they? Patience comes to an end. And everything we think we have comes to an end. Not with God. God is long-suffering, merciful, and of great goodness. And he looks down on us tonight. Whether we believe him, trust him, or whether we are stuck in despondency. And a person to whom God has already revealed himself cannot possibly remain stuck in despondency. He always has something that God has done on which to build himself up. You and I, we have things that God has done that we can hold on to and build ourselves up on. and this in perfect faith. Every morning they are new. Great is your faithfulness. Now I ask myself, why did the man here complain so terribly when he says, every morning they are new? Then he surely had a time somehow between morning and evening, as we sometimes have. But in the morning the thing was over again. In the morning the goodness and grace of God was new. And he knew that. He knew every day has its end, and a new day dawns. A new day has dawned for us anyway. Not just a day of 24 hours, but really, as the songwriter sings, when the eternal morning dawns, and time will be no more. And then he goes on to say, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. First he says, he has set me up as a target. He shoots his arrows at me. He leads me through all darkness. And then he even drives me through and lists all this. But then he comes out of it all, not by himself. God lifts him up and says, you go through things, but you don't stay in them. Your way goes out of all these trials again. I will lead you out. And this man has experienced it in faith. And then he says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Here might be our sorrow, that we wait not patiently, nor in silence, for the help of the Lord, but impatiently and speaking. And this is the very great distress. Here the Bible says, it is good to be patient and quietly wait for the help of the Lord. And the opposite is to be impatient and wait for God's help by talking. And then we notice that it doesn't come at all, that we wait in vain. There are laws of God that we must abide by. And that is what I have to tell myself. That is what I have to learn. And that is what we all have to learn. Our Lord was silent and went his way from the Mount of Olives via Gethsemane to Calvary. He went into the city. He came out. He went his way. He could have answered many things. He said nothing. It is written here, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the help of the Lord. May God give me and you and all of us grace to do this, to help us. These words that may be so simple, but they can have a tremendous impact if we heed them. It's not the mighty word that we leave unheeded. It's sometimes the little, small hints that we need to heed, in which lies the great and mighty blessing. This is the thing. The weakest link in the chain makes the strength of the whole chain. Amen. Well, we are grateful to God for every word we are privileged to read here. It is not only that we read it, but we believe it with all our heart, because we have heard it. God and his word does not change. What he spoke yesterday is valid for today and for all eternity. It remains so, and no human being can change anything. Even the ways of God cannot always be understood by people, perhaps not always by me and not always by you. But it's good like this. After all, we are supposed to live in faith and trust, and we cannot tell him what to do, but he does as he wills. A Peter wanted to interrupt. That's what we heard. And he told him directly. He knew it was only human, but God doesn't let himself be talked into. No one can talk him into his plan, into his purpose, and no one can make a change in the whole plan of salvation. It was made and determined by God, and it must come to pass because His holy mouth has spoken. And we see, we have heard, the men of God, they had to go through different things, and you and I also. Perhaps they are incomprehensible to us. But to point it out once again, we cannot do otherwise but to look to the One, to put our hope and trust in Him. Brothers and sisters, after all that has come, and it also rejoices me personally, I know the old brother Keck too, I rejoice when God is still gracious, perhaps even in the last moment of life. Perhaps we have gone through the whole of life. Perhaps we have heard many things. And perhaps we as human beings have already thought that there is no more hope for him. But even in this, we may have been mistaken. Do you believe that? Of course we do. You know, with God, all things are possible. It can be at the last moment. It can be at the beginning. It can be in the middle. We cannot say. We see it on the cross of Calvary. The two thieves, one at the last moment, he came to his senses. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do you think he just said these words? Oh, they were deep words from the heart. In faith, in confidence, he knew, here is one to whom I can still say this and who can help me. And thus were the words. It doesn't always have to be who knows what. Sometimes we might be surprised when we arrive in glory, what kind of people there will be. Yes, perhaps we will marvel and we will think, what about the one I have known for so long? He's not there, the one I thought he was, and he's not there. That could also be possible. Just saying, brothers and sisters. But with God, all things are possible. And we cannot fathom the plan of God and not add our own opinions or interpretations. We can't do that. But the Lord will carry it out and make all things well. We are so thankful that we can be together like this. Let us pray for the meetings. Let us pray that the last ones will come and that God will reveal Himself to them. And even when the visitors come, let us only speak to each other about what will be a blessing for each other. What becomes a blessing for other things, the enemy will take care of. But we should be the people, if we have Christ in us, that we speak what Christ has done in us and on us. May the faithful Lord be with us. Let us stand. To you, the true God, O Lord, we thank you especially also for this day, which you have given us again by grace. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us again through your word, O God. Lord, we know that you are able to speak through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we leave everything to you, knowing that you hear us now, O God. Savior, we come to you with everything, Lord, especially with the prayer requests. O Lord, with all who have written for intercession, O Savior, we lay all things before you, O God. Lord, you are the great physician. You are the great helper. We call upon you now, O Lord, your holy name. We praise your grace. We praise your blood, Lord. And we know, Lord, that right now, at this very moment, you are touching them, Lord. Thanks be to you for this. Hallelujah. Lord, continue to go from heart to heart. Confirm your word, Lord. Savior, we pray also for the hours to come, Lord, for all brothers, for all sisters, for all who come. And when strangers come in, Lord, Lord, wouldst thou meet them, is our supplication, our prayer. Lord, let us do all things in love, even for all that is to be cared for. Lord, give us all willing hearts to do all things as is pleasing in thy sight. Give it to me, give it to us all. I pray especially for those, Lord, who also have to take care for the earthly well-being. Lord, strengthen them. Give them courage and strength for everything. Lord, this is my prayer and my supplication to you. Continue to be with us. Also my brother, strengthen him after spirit, soul and body. Lord, take care of his house. O God, may you give a turnaround. Lord, we pray for our children, for our relatives, for all, Lord. Savior, we lay everything before you. You know everything. Thanks be to you. In Jesus' name, may you also be with us when we part now and bless us in our homes, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.